Hi friends, thanks for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. My name is Kathy and I'll be your host for today. Today I wanted to share with you what God's been putting on my heart. If you get your Bibles out, I want you to go to Psalms 92:4. God's word says, "For you, the Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands." What does triumph mean? Let's go into the dictionary of what triumph means. Triumph means a great victory or achievement. A great victory or achievement. Let's give you some examples in the Bible of people who triumphed. Triumphed in the Bible? Well, the first main person that we can go to is Jesus Christ. By his death on the cross, Christ triumphed over sin. That's in Romans 8:1-2. Because we are in Christ, we have also overcome sin. Romans 6:11, verse 1, John 3:9-4. So who is the God that calls us to triumph? It's not just any God. God is our creator, our heavenly father. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no one like him. There's nobody that can compare to him. But what does it say in 2 Corinthians 2:14? This is in the King James Version. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." So what does God's triumph exactly mean? It means that God can overcome or work through every single circumstance or advance our purpose in our life. Paul, the Apostle Paul, taught us the same thing in truth in Romans 8:28. He defined it as a word defined to have achieved your great victory. So let me give you an example. If you're winning a war or a competition or a success, you're going to feel very happy about it. You're going to be proud because you accomplished that achievement that maybe you thought that you never got to accomplish, but that's just an example. So let me give you another example. How did God's mercy triumph over judgment? In James 2:12-13, James says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Now we got to keep in mind, my friends, that the laws we broke demanded our death. Now, you may be thinking, what do you mean the laws that we broke? Kathy, I never broke a law. Well, when Adam and Eve was born, they broke the law by sinning. And how did they break that law? When God told them that they couldn't eat from the tree of knowledge, Adam and Eve refused to be obedient to the Lord, and they still sinned, and they ate that fruit, that apple. And by doing so, it caused great sin in the world. And God's overall purpose for our life, death wasn't included in the plan until they sinned. And because they sinned, that's why God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for all our sins, past, present, and future. But a lot of times some people mistakenly think that that's something just ordinary, where they don't understand that God became human but still was in spirit form, and he died on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins so that one day we could have eternal salvation and be with him forever and ever and ever. But James here also says that the mercy of God, because of God's mercy for us, for you, for me, He had a sacrificial death of his son, and he made a way for us to be accepted so that in the end, God's mercy could prevail. So what does it mean to triumph over death? So you got to understand, by coming into the world, Christ did more than redeem us by his death. He conquered death, and he proved of this conquering, this victory, this triumph when he was resurrected 3 days later. So us as humans, nobody can die and then come back to life. You know, if they physically had a physical death and was dead for a while. But Jesus Christ died, and 3 days later, he came back to life. And because of him, death takes a whole new meaning. So what scriptures can we look at that causes us to triumph? Like I gave you earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." See, in our mind, we see things differently than the way God sees it. God's triumph for us is that we win every single time. Come on now, I'm preaching. He always causes us to triumph. Keep in mind that this verse doesn't say that everything's always going to be perfect. Everything's going to go smoothly. You're not going to have any trials or tribulations. No, but he always causes us to triumph. So you may ask, well, Kathy, how is Jesus' resurrection a triumph? The resurrection of Jesus Christ vindicated that the fact that the sinless one, who was the sinless one? Jesus Christ. He was without blemish, without stain, without spot. He was valued and honored by the Father up above, that he died on the cross for our sins so the whole mankind could have everlasting life. So what does it mean to live a triumph life? It means that if we look at our life through God's eyes, we know that he is working everything for our good because he loves us. But if we look at our life through our lives, we can be disappointed or discouraged because we're only human and we're taking on human form. So you got to ask yourself, where in the Bible does it say that we have triumph over our enemies? Psalms 25, "Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me." So, when you think about Jesus Christ triumphing, getting that victory on the cross, because the devil, Satan, thought he had won. He thought he got the victory. He thought he got the triumph by Jesus dying on the cross. But he didn't know God's end plan was to have mankind to be saved, to be spared, to have mercy, to have grace. So how can we be triumph? Our personal decision, if we're going to accept Jesus Christ or not. Our purposeful pursuit, are we going to follow Jesus Christ? And are we going to watch and pray? So can a person be triumphant? Yes. Let me give you an example. If someone's playing ping pong and they won their tournament and ping pong tournament, and they get a ribbon or they get a trophy, that's a triumph. But what does triumph actually mean in the Bible? Let me give you another example in the scriptures. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 35. Save us, God, of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the nations to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and reveals through us the sweet aroma of his knowledge in every place. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Having stripped the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. So why do you think God uses that word triumph? Have any of you figured out why? You got to look at it like this. Your triumph is basically connected to God's word and what he said he would do and what he would accomplish in you. So, like I said before, we triumph through Christ when God's Son died on the cross for our sins so that we could have eternal salvation. We won. You may think, well, Kathy, how did I win? Well, first of all, we're all sinners and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that no one's perfect. Not even one righteous person on the entire earth is perfect. But God caused Jesus Christ, his perfect plan, his perfect will was for Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you and me, for us as sinners, so that we could triumph over death. And you may be thinking, well, how do I triumph over death? Well, my friends, we all know that when you die, death is not over. There's an afterlife. But where you're going to go through that afterlife determines if you're going to triumph in heaven or are you going to be defeated and downcasted in hell. And that decision lies solely up to you, because God did his part. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, and now it's up to us if we want to choose to accept him. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force himself upon you. He will never push himself on you. You have free will, but keep in mind, my friends, that free will comes with a price and it comes with a cost. Are you going to choose God or you're going to choose the devil? Are you going to choose heaven or you're going to choose hell? And if you're not riding with God right now, you know the saying that people say, oh, he's my ride and to person, ride or die person. If you're not following Christ right now, you're basically following Satan and you're not on God's team. Bottom line, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm not one of those pastors that sugarcoat things. I like to tell it how it is. And it's very simple. God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. He gave you the gift of eternal life, eternal salvation, and it's up to you if you want it or not. But remember, my friends, that God wants us to triumph. Now remember Paul. Paul basically was saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, I win wherever I go. Why? Because the Bible says that God is always with us. God can never leave us nor forsake us. The only time he leaves us is when you blaspheme God. When you quench the Holy Spirit. when you turn your back on God and you tell him, I don't want nothing to do with you. God is always there. So again, my friends, your triumph is connected to what God has said in his word. I want you to write down Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, through the cross or in himself. So basically, I'm going to just put it in plain words. Jesus Christ wants us to walk around and to say, hey, I want to put you on a show right now. I want to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to get an amen, a hallelujah. And I want everybody to know that he stripped and dethroned them. When Jesus rose from the dead, he paraded through downtown. And he basically triumphed because he was showing everybody, hey, the devil didn't win. The devil didn't get the victory. He didn't get the triumph. And Jesus was like, basically, I'm paraphrasing here. He could have been saying like, hey, I'm here. I defeated death. So our triumph comes from God and what God did in Christ. So everything that God did in Christ, he did it for you. He did it for me. But he put it into our account as though we did it. Come on now, I'm preaching. And this is how God gets all the glory. Not me, not man. God gets all the glory. So Jesus Christ triumphed over death. Satan's plan was to destroy Adam and Eve. So he tricked Eve, the woman, to eat from the tree of knowledge. What was that apple? And because of her disobedience, she gave that apple to Adam. Adam didn't listen. He ate from the tree of knowledge as well. And that led to sin. And that sin led to overall death. But because of God's mercy, because of his love, because of his goodness and his powerfulness, he decided to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. So that we can get that triumph over death, get that victory over death, get that triumph over hell. And he defeated the devil. He showed it on full display when he rose again 3 days later. And over 500 accounts, 500 witnesses that saw Jesus. And isn't that beautiful? If you think about it, isn't that beautiful? So I want you to know, my friends, that just because you're being defeated, just because you're being discouraged, just because you're being downcasted, it could be by family, by friends, by strangers, by co-workers, even perhaps your boss, doesn't mean that you're going to be defeated always. Doesn't mean that you're always going to be a loser or you're never going to overcome. Because we are overcomers in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to get that victory. But when we get the victory, my friends, we can't be boasting and saying that it was because of us. We got to boast and be proud to say that it was because our Lord and Savior did it. You're not here by chance. You're here by divine appointment. You're not here by chance. You're here by divine appointment to hear the message that there is triumph in your life. There is triumph over your finances. There is victory over your finances. There is victory over your circumstances. There is victory over your personal life, over your job, over your business, over your health. Come on now. But who's getting that victory? Who's getting all the glory? Jesus. Jesus is. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you so much. I want to thank you for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. Once again, my name is Kathy. We went over some good scriptures there about the word triumph, what it means, and how you can triumph in your life. So take 2024. Look at it in a new light, in God's perspective. Get closer to God. Start reading the Word. Start reading the Bible. And trust in Him. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. But the most important thing that should be added unto you is eternal salvation. So if you never received Jesus Christ into your heart, I want you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins today. I open wide the door of my heart and I ask you to come in. I turn my back on sin. I turn my back on the devil. I turn my back on the demon forces. And I ask you to be Lord of my life. You promised me in John 3:16 that whoever believes in you shall not perish but have everlasting life. And you said that you would write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you, Lord, for putting my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That if you were to die in a tragic car accident, and you said that prayer, and you're seeking after God, and you repented of your sins, that God will welcome you with open arms, and you will hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But if you never said that salvation prayer, if you never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you never repented or asked God for forgiveness of your sins, and you're not seeking Him, and you're not in a good Bible-believing church, you're going to hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, you wicked sinner, I never knew you." And you will be cast into the lake of fire where the devil and the demons live, and you will spend all eternity without God, with no hope, with no light, with no air. My friends, hell is real. My friends, heaven is real. And your decision counts. Your decision matters what you choose on earth. You want to know where you're going to be in the afterlife? The decision that you make now while you're living determines your afterlife. God gave you eternal salvation by having His Son die on the cross for us. That's overall triumph. Now, your triumph is to receive that free gift of eternal salvation that God has placed for you, right before you. To accept it, to receive it, to walk in it, and get into a good Bible-believing church. If you said that prayer today, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of heaven. I want you to find a good local Bible-believing church, one that speaks about repentance, asking God for forgiveness of your sins, one that speaks about getting baptized, that speaks about the Holy Spirit. You can see who the Holy Spirit is, what He is, and what He can do for you in Acts chapter 2 in the Bible. Get a good Bible. And if you never had a Bible before and it just seems confusing, remember, God is not the author of confusion. Find a Bible in a Christian store, even if you have to give the kids the Bible so you can understand it. Do that, my friends. Be blessed. 2024 is a year of getting closer to God, and that's my wish and desire for you. Thank you, guys. I love you. I'll be praying for you. Bye-bye.